Welcome to The Uplifters. I'm Miranda Savas, and I've spent the last 20 years at the intersection of behavior change research and coaching. And here on The Uplifters podcast, every week we share diverse stories of women who have found something beautiful on the other side of the hard stuff. Despite having the same self-doubt and fears that we all have, these women have done the big, brave things they want to do anyway. And they teach us through their stories how we can too. Today, I am so beyond thrilled to introduce you to Terry Grail, the founder and CEO of Enchanted Makeovers, a national nonprofit with an extraordinary mission, transforming shelter spaces for women and children who have escaped domestic violence and human trafficking. Terry, welcome to The Uplifters. So, Terry, let's talk about how Enchanted Makeovers came to be.
It was just a phone call asking if I will volunteer my time and paint one wall at a shelter. That was 2006, I received the phone call. 2007, I did the visit and the tour of the shelter. The last stop was the women's dorm. That changed the course of my life. The dorm where 30 women would sleep for 1 year with their children. Everything was broken. There was no dressers. They used boxes as dressers. And then the bunk beds were donated from a prison. All of the bedspreads were donated from a nursing home. I pick up an energy very easily. And I just wanted to run. It was so, there was so much sadness. And I said it in my head, like, how do you go to bed and dream and wake up with hope when your environment is working against the program? Mm-hmm. So I took before pictures like I would do for a client because I had a decorating business at that time. And I said, I don't know if I can do anything. That's what I told the director. And she said, I understand. Because nothing had ever been done. It was an old post office. So I drove home and I was angry because I'm like, God, why did you bring this to me? You know, I have four children. My kids were little and I have my business. I can't do this. I have no money. I don't have volunteers. At that time, you used a camera, and I'm not downloading those pictures. So a week had passed, and I just felt...
You weren't downloading them because...
I didn't want to see it.
You just couldn't bear to look at them?
No, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to acknowledge it. I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, I just want to take care of my kids and my life, and it's not my problem. A week had passed, and I decided I need to download those photos. And the last photo was that bunk bed, duct tape and two pillows, no pillowcases on them. And one of the pillows had polka dots. It was white polka dots. I've loved polka dots since I was a little girl. And when I saw the polka dots, I heard, trust me. And I put my hand up in the air and I said, I'll do it. I had no idea how I was going to do it. I went back to the shelter a week later. They brought women in from transitional housing. So there was about 50 women in the chapel. Looking at me like, who in the hell is this woman? Because...
And what did you think you were doing at that point?
I was hoping that I could at least transform the dorm somehow better than what it looked like. I didn't know how I was going to get any of the donations. And I told the women that. I said, I hope this is what I do, bunk beds and lighting and dressers and all that stuff. And I just began to cry. Like I did the ugly cry. And I remember looking up. And there was a woman in the front row, and she looked at me and she said, it's going to be okay. And when I looked around, I just saw girls. There was no women. It was all girls. And in that moment, I knew this was never going to be about decorating. It was walking beside women, not there to save them. I didn't know at the time I was beginning my own journey of having to go back to move forward.
What do you think those tears were in that first moment?
I know now it was the 9-year-old. We battled with homelessness, and I think it all just came down on me. The mirror was flipped, and I had to look at my own life, and the journey needed to begin walking beside women and healing just as much as they were healing. I needed to heal. The decorating was just a tool for something greater. I was called way beyond that, and that's where it began, is just saying yes. Without having any ducks in the row, no money and no volunteers. I just took that leap.
So you've said, I'm going to help. You walk into this room with these women and saw them as girls.
Yes.
And it was your little girl self relating to their little girl self and seeing that we are the same.
Yes. And I still feel to this day, I am called to serve the girl from within, because that's where the trauma starts for many of the women, is when they were a little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You immediately leap into, I know I'm going to make this place better. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what the resources are. I don't know what the processes and the systems look like for this. So with all of that uncertainty, most people would walk away and say, this is too much. I had to learn how to change a tire for the first time this week.
Uh-huh.
Silly thing, right? Millions of people have changed tires. Most people have developed this skill. The first day I went out and looked at it, though, I like watched a video and said, unscrew a lug nut. So I put the little wrench on there. I tried to unscrew the lug nut. Nothing happened. It stayed stuck. And I was like, okay, I'll just put more pressure on. I tried a little harder, but I didn't want to break it or do something wrong. And so I walked away. I was like, all right, I'm going to just come back to this fresh in the morning and look at it again. I went, tried the same move again, day two. Nothing happened. I was like, okay, as soon as the long weekend is over, I'll call somebody and get some expert support. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch one more YouTube video. And I searched like how to unscrew a stuck lug nut. I got really specific in my step of this process, which is only the first step of the process, which the guys were doing in the videos, like all the steps in 30 seconds. And they're like, oh, there you go. And I was like, this is not how it's working out for me. And so I finally figured out if I open the door and I put one leg on the frame of the car to balance me, I could jump on the wrench and unscrew the leg. And so once step one was tackled, which took me 3 days, I was rolling and I was able to walk through all of the challenges of every other step because none of them were straightforward. And I think that's how kind of everything is when we're starting something new. And you were walking into this with, it sounds like, none of the background resources and knowledge of how to get this done. You just wanted to do it. Now, most of us are going to stop at the, I don't know what to do or how to get started. And so one of the most important things we're going to get to learn from you is how mentally and tactically you got started.
I didn't sit down and plan this. I just automatically started doing it. My mother always taught us since we were little, the power of our mind and imagination. And I'm also about putting the cart before the horse. I've always been like that. I'm just kind of crazy like that. So yes.
Same girl, big believer in that one.
So what I did was,
yes,
I first went out to a store and I thought I'd get some cans of paint. If anyone could just listen to the women's stories and what I've already learned, of course they would say yes. No. So I went to the store and the manager rolled her chair out of the office and said, I don't have time for you. So I left the store.
So you just walked in, you're like, I need a donation. And she's like, no, bye. Shot you down.
Yeah.
She's a lug nut.
So I got in the car and I did the ugly cry again. And I said, wipe your tears because you're going to go to the next store. So I went to the next paint store. Mm-hmm. And he said, those all have to go through corporate. So I left and I said, okay, I am going to send out emails. So I started sending out emails, just sharing my heart. Nothing all professional. It was just what's in my heart and what I was trying to accomplish. I was turning 40. So I woke up that morning and I said, before I touched the floor, I said, God, I don't want nothing for my birthday. I want the largest donation. And it was 12 o'clock and it was from all those emails I sent. It was a gentleman that called. He was in Mexico and he was on vacation. And he said, I'm checking my emails and I came across your email. And my father has always raised me, if you can do something, you should do it. I'm going to donate those 30 mattresses, mattress pads and pillows. Because all the mattresses, obviously, I was just sending emails.
You just like cold emailed a bunch of companies that were possibly able to help with this project.
Yes. And I wouldn't send one email. It was multiple emails to mattress companies. No one was walking beside me saying, do this and this. I was just sharing my heart in the email.
Uh-huh.
So this is where the divine timing, and it's always been like that, 17 years. My client, she has a year booking. You can't just walk in and get an appointment with her. She had a client cancel, so she had a 15-minute time for someone to get the brows done. So this woman walks in, and she said, is she available? She's available. She starts telling her client about what I'm trying to do with this dorm. She said, I'm friends with Art Van, one of the largest furniture stores in the state of Michigan. She got a hold of him, and he made an appointment with me to go to the shelter. He showed up in his limousine. We walked around the shelter. We got to the dorm, and he said, what's your vision here? And I just shared how it would look and feel for the women. And a week later, he called me, and he wanted to know about me as a mom, my children. It wasn't about furniture. It was just about my life. So I spoke the truth, which I said, I don't buy your furniture. And the reason why I said that is because I had a decorating business, and people that came to me, they wanted Chevy chic, rustic, cottage style. And that grandma's treasures. It's handmade. So I just was speaking truly from my heart, and it was all quiet. And I thought, oh, I just ruined that deal. And he said, I am going to donate all the bunk beds and the baby cribs. And that's how that journey was.
It doesn't surprise me in the least, Terry, as remarkable as it is, over 100 episodes into this, as a researcher, I spend a lot of time synthesizing the insights and ideas of the women that I've talked to here on the podcast. And one of what I call the courage principles that have emerged from that research is to get loud. And that's really what I hear in what you're saying. It's so easy to overthink what we're going to say and keep ourselves quiet and small and whisper our dreams. But you didn't do that. And in fact, you got loud without worrying about what the right thing was to say. And you just spoke the truth.
It's easy to do that too when you're speaking it for another mom and her child. It took me many years through this process for myself. When I'm asking, it's for someone else. That dorm was done. I mean, obviously the women got more than that. They got a new boiler system, a new bathroom. It went way beyond the dorm. But even after that, I had an argument with myself and said, I'm done. I'm going back to my decorating business. Yeah.
Why?
This is a lot of work. It's so emotional. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to go there. The women, one of the biggest things they've shared with me is nobody wants to listen to us. I was getting all these stories shared with me, and it was a lot of weight on my heart. A lot of the women, they don't expect an answer from you when they're sharing their story. It's just, will you listen to me? I was thinking I have to have all the answers and solve every issue. So when you hear that, it is a weight on your heart. But I figured it out to say, okay, now you just release it. You listen. And that helped me through the whole process.
That's a huge insight there, Terry, because one of the biggest risks for burnout and drivers of fear unconsciously for uplifters is the need to help.
Yeah.
We forget that oftentimes the most helpful thing we can do is just be present. Just see another person. Just listen. We don't have to fix anything. We don't have to renovate their house, which amazing if that can be done. And the greatest gift we can give is simply to be present and listen and to hear someone and treat them with some respect. Hearing you say that in that way sort of demystifies what can be a block for a lot of folks. So you talk about these women as warriors. That word feels fierce and battle-y. Why that word?
Because I speak for me and many women. We start off as the victim, and then we say we're a survivor, but when are we going to be a warrior? It's so much more powerful. It's the survivor thing for me. The word is, it's like we're still surviving. The warrior is that woman just standing there like Wonder Woman. I share that with all the women. I say, you are a warrior. The fact that you have decided to come in this program and stick to it and what you went through, I consider that a warrior. One of the women were sharing with me that her uncle molested her when she was a little girl. She said, I never told anyone. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell my husband. And just keeping that turned to alcohol. Then it came to heavier drugs. Now I'm living behind a dumpster. There was this one woman that I met. She was always uplifting everyone. She wanted everyone to be happy and to smile. And she would sing and twirl. And she'd say, can I share my story? She said, from 5 years old to 16, my father molested me. And she said, the only way I could numb it was with drugs. So I turned to drugs. And then to keep up with the drugs, I had to prostitute myself. And now I'm in my 60s and I'm in the shelter to rebuild my entire life. So when I say I'm here to serve the girl, that was the girl twirling. She wanted to make everyone laugh and happy in the room. Mm-hmm. She's a warrior.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe the women are warriors, but I also have to be a warrior in a sense of when I go out and speak, because I'm speaking on behalf of not only the women, but the 9-year-old self, that I feel success is that she has healed. Because people have asked me, do you feel successful now? I said, yes, because she has healed. You can't put any amount of money on that.
9-year-old you.
Programs like the traveling pillowcase. That's my story at 9 years old. It's the power of your mind. So that's how I coped. When I went to bed, I could travel anywhere I wanted. Mm. So I'm like, the children need to know this message, and the moms, they have to know the same message, because our mind is such a powerful tool. So that's why it's called that. It's just a reminder that when you go to bed at night, and then you don't even have to be sleeping. It could be anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens there too is that these other women and girls can see that there is something on the other side. Because when we feel hopeless, we will act hopeless.
Yes. And that's funny you said that. That is the base on the Cape for Kids. Watching the news, and one of the mothers was saying to her son, no one's going to come here and save us. Instantly, I started to cry, because I thought, if you don't have hope as a mother, how can you give hope to your child? There was no judgment there. I just understood how she was feeling. Mm. And then I saw him with a cape on, her son. I said, he has everything within him. He's a superhero. And that's when I wipe my tears. And I always say, what are tears if there's no action? So I went on social media and I said, can somebody please make 25 capes? A woman from North Carolina reached back out. She shipped them here to Michigan. I went back to that shelter to see the kids' reaction. And they started singing and twirling. And I'm like, there it is. This is our program. We're going to have capes. And it's going to remind every child that they don't wait for Superman. You have everything within you.
They can have hope.
Yes.
Both the pillowcase and the cape speak to that original lesson from your mother that you shared about the power of imagination. As I look back on my grandmother's life, I think the most important lesson she showed us, I found the life that I liked and I worked toward that. She painted a picture for herself of the way out and how she wanted to live. She wanted a life in town. She wanted 4 children. It was very specific. Once you know the destination, you can build a map to it. And so it sounds to me like that's what both the pillowcase program and the cape program are doing. They're saying, hey, kids, paint an image of the life that you want. And then together, once we know where you want to go, we can build a pathway there.
Yes. And it's one of the questions you said in the beginning about how did you know how to take those steps? When I went to bed every night, I never visualized how the dorm would look. I only focused on how it would make the women feel.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. And I could see their faces, and they were laughing, and the children were laughing. And they were sitting on the floor, because they told me, I will never sit on this floor. It's filthy. So that was my biggest thing, is just keep focusing on how they're feeling. I did that every single night when I went to bed. When that dorm was done is when I started thinking, I should use this for my own life. Like the emotional part of it. Of just focusing.
Uh-huh. How do I want to feel?
I still do it to this day. Like the headquarters, I needed a bigger space than my house. We were growing, getting larger. I put it on Facebook again, because I think you should speak what your dream is. Tell the world. Yes. I don't care. There was only one person that said, that's crazy. I didn't even acknowledge them. I just kept moving forward.
Yes, that's it. Get loud.
And what I wrote was, it was not about how the headquarters would look.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our office. It would be about when adults walk in, how they would become children. So the man in the power suit would become that boy. It was all based on how it would transform people that would come in to volunteer. That's all I focused on.
Mm.
And we did get the house. She had been abandoned for 7 years. She was all boarded up and she was loved back to life. All volunteers and donations restored her.
And now that's your center of operations for your national nonprofit that runs multiple programs, publishes multiple books.
And I have another one coming out in June.
Terry, from one dormitory to all of this.
If you would have said that to the 9-year-old, I was extremely shy.
What about the 40-year-old?
The 40-year-old was pretty shocked with that large donation. So I'm like, wow, something's happening here.
It doesn't sound like there was some master plan for any of this. It sounds like it was a matter of you saying yes over and over again.
Yes. And that yes is to all my life. It wasn't just the shelters. It was for me, my family.
When you're asked a question, is yes your immediate answer?
No. There has been companies, I mean, I've learned through this. We had offers to partner with us, companies. And it came down to the women will not be, I call it prostituted with your product.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't have to say yes to everything. I have to protect the women. We partner with brands, but I can tell how they're so humble that we feel good that, yes, we want to be with you. But there's ones that are just, you know, like Vanna White or something, like it's here's the product. No, we can't do that. It's just not going to work.
I've heard a lot of founders and CEOs say not all money is good money.
Yes.
I take from you so many lessons about how to create a life of meaning and purpose. So much of it is listening first to that deep, deep desire to make a difference for someone. And then trusting that you don't have to have all the answers.
No, you don't.
You don't have to know the whole pathway. You just have to see the vision.
Yes.
And saying yes to those things that keep you on that road. And who knows where that road will go next.
Absolutely. It's organically, I think it's important to have a vision, but then the middle piece is so organic. That's the beauty part of it. It's that I don't have to have my hands at every little piece of it.
Mm. Whether in for-profit or nonprofit businesses, I think that is one of the key lessons we've taken from these courage principles is that it takes courage to let somebody else help raise your baby and trust that they're going to know things that you don't. And it is the people who end up holding the reins too tightly that end up sort of strangling the baby. You don't get to a national nonprofit by doing it all on your own.
No, I am so very grateful to the team and the board members, the village, which is the volunteers and donors. It takes all of us to make this happen.
It's a real act of courage to let go of control and to say, this is what I do well. I'm going to do a lot of that. And I'm going to trust that other people have other skills and strengths and let them do their part. That is how scale and increased impact happen.
Yes. My CEO, Ellen, is incredible. She worked in New York office at Prudential for 25 years. She was in charge of like 300 employees. Majority were men. So she said, I was the one with the power suit. She still wears the power suit. I'm in the polka dot dress. So she's the numbers, the PowerPoints, all those things. And she says, you tell the story. So we went to some meeting years ago and she had her power suit on. I had on a polka dot dress and I had my ruby red shoes on. When I left, the president of this family foundation, she goes, I just love those shoes. We did get the money from the foundation. I'm not saying the shoes did it, but I knew they were going to forget those shoes.
Well, let's take this too from your story. A huge part of what has made you successful is just being really authentic.
Yeah.
In my day-to-day work, I coach women to live and lead authentically. And so what does that mean? It means bringing all our wacky, weird, unique, beautiful facets of our lived experience. For you, that was your story of growing up. It is your professional's experience. It is your taste and your talent, bringing all of those together to do something in a way nobody else could ever done it.
Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of times I will see it that way.
And that is a superpower in its own right. But most of us exhaust ourselves trying to hide that stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is I don't see it that way because I'm just being me.
If we are true to ourselves, it all comes together organically. It's all going to feel authentic and integrated.
Yes.
It's when we're trying to be somebody else that it's hard to make decisions.
This year, I visualized horse blinders. Stop looking over there, what Sally or what Tammy's doing. Mm. We just want to compare. No.
Mm-hmm.
Just that. Keep going with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel is I don't work on that. That's just all I know. That's why I want to do what Sally's doing. Sally's doing her thing.
Good job, Sally and Tammy. Terry's in Terry's lane. That's hard, though, to stay focused unless you have a really strong, clear why, which is, I think, the secret to why it's worked so well for you, is you had both that deep internal why, but you also had a very powerful external why. Yeah. And we all have that. We just have to take the moment to go look for it.
Yes.
Yeah. And trust, like you, that while the cost may be great, the rewards will be great, too.
Way in the beginning. We had an event in New Jersey. Everything was set. So we had a 2-day event. The first day was, there was yoga, there was journaling, there was a mural being done. The next day, we had hairdressers, makeup artists, nail techs, a boutique.
Oh.
We were all getting dressed up. And then we were going to the restaurant that was off this lake. And we were all going to share a meal together. And when we got in there, I heard some men singing.
Mm.
I'm like, oh my gosh, their voices. So I'm like, I'm going to ask them. They can only say no. I said, will you come and sing to the women? Of course, because they were hired to sing at a birthday party for another family. They came over and they sung this beautiful song to all the women.
Just meant to be. I believe in fortuitousness. But most of all, I believe in the power of asking.
Yes. They could just say no. Why not? I mean, I was going to go for it.
Yes. And most people aren't going to ask. And that's why those things don't feel like they're happening. And so I think, what's the worst that could happen, Terry? They said no. Okay.
I already did the ugly cry over the can of paint. So I was already used to it.
Correct. Moving on. Ask the next question.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like forever going to link in my mind, weirdly, stuck lug nuts and asking for support. So as uplifters, we love to lift up other uplifters. So how can we support you and Enchanted Makeovers?
Go to the website, enchantedmakeovers.org. Email me. Tell me what you love to do. You now have become a messenger for the mission. When we were blessed to be on the Kelly Clarkson Show in February, I went up to Kelly, I put my hands on her shoulder, and I said, you now have become a messenger for the mission.
I love that.
So I share that because if there's someone else who's a podcaster who loves to write, just come to me and tell me what is it you love to do and serve from that place. We have Facebook, Instagram, Enchanted Makeovers. It's that simple.
You're inviting us to participate, and that's a big part of it.
Yes.
Right there. And now it's our turn.
We have a sign that says, all aboard the Enchanted Train. The train is moving, and sometimes it makes little stops. It's your decision if you want to get on, but it will continue to move.
It was so nice to meet you, Terry. You are a freaking badass warrior.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'll take that.
Truly, such an inspiring story and such an important and urgent mission. We are in weird times, man. It feels so hopeless for so many and so divided. More than ever, we need stories like yours. It really does start with a dream and an action. We all have the capability to create change.
Absolutely.
Even in what feels like the darkest times, just breaking it down one step at a time and asking for help, learning our way through every stuck lug nut.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. 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 Lift you up.
Beautiful.
I cried.
Your voice,
right in the pre-chorus, right?
I was like,
"Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."